Okay, folks.
Price is less than 20.
Okay, you're around today. Whatever that costs.
You didn't put on /S.
One more time, okay, folks. Just a note, I had to do enrollment verification, Rusty, this week. And there were some people that I had on attendance sheet, but I have no homework from. And just a reminder that homework is 80% of your grade. So, therefore, if I don't have homework from you, you're not going to pass. So, I need homework, okay? Much as I hate correcting, I need lots of homework to come my way so I can spend days doing the thing that I hate doing. What?
You must correct all day.
Some days. Some days I literally do that all day.
I thought it was that because my 2-year classes, there's like 50 people between the two classes.
There's 150 total. And so there are days that I just spend correcting. However, I'm a glutton for punishment. And I am begging you to give me more things to correct because I clearly don't have enough. So therefore, if you have not been sending me homework, start doing it now. Okay, moving right along. As I said, we are dealing with CSS in this course. And those are two of the things from CSS about note-taking, two kind of, I think, good articles on note-taking. And on the next quiz I give you, there'll be a couple of questions about note-taking from those particular things. So what I'm doing is suggesting that you read them. Okay, what we're going to do today is more on ifs. So I'm looking at a presentation on if statements that better come up. Okay, today is one of those days you get the rare privilege of listening to me most of the day, so most of the hour. So stay tuned. Okay, this is the very simple if, where I ask a question, if the answer is yes, I do something, if the answer is no, I have nothing to do. But I still code the Y and the N, and I join them at the bottom. When I write that in pseudocode, I write, if amount is greater than 5,000, and I put the calculation, and then I end the if. And the end if is comparable to the dot that I put on the flowchart. Then once I have the logic worked out, I can go to a language, and we'll be starting languages shortly, and I can write that in the language that I'm working with, okay? But that will have to be adjusted for the language that I'm working with. Again, this is a calculation, so I'm doing the calculation, and the calculation is on the left, on the right. The answer is on the left, and this is an assignment sign. Okay, so what that means is I'm doing the calculation and assigning it to answer. Okay, so putting it in answer. Okay, the next one, these are just very basic. The next one is where I have something to do if there's a no. So here I have two different calculations. If amount is greater than 5,000, I want to do one calculation. Otherwise, I want to do another one. And this really can be written as thought of as else. Okay? Else, I'm going to do another one. So really, it can be thought of as else. So I have, if amount is greater than 5,000, do this, else do something else. End if. Huh?
Or else.
I don't know. I'm not sure I like the word or there. So I don't think I'm going to use it. You can if you want to. But I don't think I like it there. Okay. Stop me if you have questions at any point. Okay, so now I've got two things that I want to test. And I only want to do something if they're both true. So I write them this way. If inventory code equals A, if it does, then I ask another question. And notice the whole second question is embedded in the yes of the first. So I have a yes, and I embed the whole second question there. If I get a yes to both of these, then I move OK to message. And I should have had double quotes around both parts of the OK. All right? Because I'm moving a literal. I'm moving the literal OK. Okay, so this is a... Yeah, right. That is a literal, and it has to be in quotes. And we'll see if we can convince it that I want to start writing again. Okay. So this is a literal, and it has to be in quotes. If I don't put that in quotes, it goes around looking at my data, looking at what I've set up, looking for a field called OK. Okay? And it's not going to find it. So if I were writing this, I wrote it in pseudocode, which says move OK to message. The other way to write that is message equals OK. Okay. Pseudocode, in other words, can be very much just move this, take OK and put it in message. It doesn't have to be the way I'd write it in a language. In a language, I'm going to write it more as message equals OK. Okay, but the pseudocode, again, is English. And I can write it in a way that makes sense to me. Okay. Questions? Okay. There's that one and this one. Okay, I can write this in an alternative way. I can make it a compound. And so instead of asking the question separately, which I did here, here I ask the question. If it's true, I drop down and I ask the second question. If it's not true, I'm out of here with the end if. But if it's true, I ask the second question. If the second question is true, then I do the move OK and then end that if. Every if needs an end if. I can then turn and make this compound if I want to. And say, if the code is A and the amount is greater than 5,000, move OK. Okay, so I can make those compound if I want to and ask the same question in the same line. So if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, do it. Move OK to message. Okay. Okay, now I'm getting into the else. If I have these two things and both are true, I say move OK to message. If either of them is false, I say move problem to message. So I'm doing something always because all of the possibilities have me doing something. Okay, so look at the way this code is written in pseudocode, because pseudocode comes close to what you're really going to write when you write the program. And I can follow it and say, okay, if inventory code equals A, that's my first question. If I get a yes to it, is amount greater than 500, 5,000? If the answer is yes, I move okay to message. Else, now, when I have something to do in the no, I put in the else. And notice I continue on with this inner question. So else, move problem to message. And then I end that if. Now, if I get a no to the outer question, I drop down to the else, the second else, and I say, move problem to message. Okay? So, this is the inner if here, and outside, I have the outer if, and there is its else. Now, I can turn this into a compound if I want to. I can say, if inventory code equals A and amount is greater than 5,000, move OK to message. Else, meaning if it either of them gets a no, I move problem to message. Now, this works because these are the same. Okay, so that works because those are the same. If I wanted to do different things, if the inventory code was not equal to A, and different thing if the amount was not greater than 5,000, then I can't make it a compound because I don't know what to put in the else. Okay, if I have two different things going on here, then I don't know what to put in the else. So I can't make it a compound. Yeah?
If the no for amount 5,000 was different from the no for the else, would that be indented and then you move on to the next else?
I would just change these two things right down here.
No, I mean like for the one on the...
I wouldn't do it this way.
Oh, okay. So you just do it that way.
Right. If the no's are different, then I can't do it this way.
I see.
I gotta stick with this way because this gives me the flexibility to put two different things in. Okay? This one doesn't. Now, if I am stubborn, I can do it this way, but I'm gonna have to stick in another if statement down here and ask the same question again to figure out which one to do. So, somebody does that and it kind of bleeps that they don't know what they're doing. So it's not a particularly good idea, okay?
That's why I ask questions.
So you won't bleep? Okay, so over here I've got, as we continue on in this, presuming that it lets me continue on, in this one, I only have a no that I want to do for one of the questions. The other question, I just want to do nothing. So again, I can't do a compound because if I did a compound, what would I put on the else? Move problem or nothing. So I can't do a compound. So here I've asked the question, is inventory code equal A? Is amount greater than 5,000? Move OK to message. Else, because there's a no on this one, else move problem to message. Notice there's no else on the outer one. There's no else on the outer one because I have nothing to do if the answer is no to the outer question. So there's no else there. Okay, and I can't make this a compound because I have different responses if the no. Okay, I have different responses. Questions? I don't believe you. There's got to be a question. Okay. I keep telling you, I'm not that clear. Okay, so now I've got it, but I've got different no's. So I've said, if inventory code equals A, If amounts greater than 5,000, move okay. If the inventory code is A, but the amount isn't greater than 5,000, I want to put out the word problem. If the inventory code is an A, I want to put out the message bad code. So my two else's have different things happening. Okay, so I'm saying if inventory code equals A, if amount is greater than 5,000, move okay. Else, move problem, end that if. Okay, then if inventory code is not A, take this else and move bad code to message. Okay, can this one be made compound?
No, that's what I was asking.
Yeah, this one can't be made compound because the no's are different. Okay, so when I come make it a compound and then I come to the else, I say, which one am I supposed to put there? And when I get to that, which one am I supposed to put there, I say, probably I shouldn't have done it this way in the first place. Okay, so it can't be made into a compound. Okay, now we're going to start and look at an or relationship. We were looking at ands before, now we're looking at ors. So I'm saying if inventory code equals A, move okay to message. And if amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. And that was my second chance, because when you see this, where if inventory code equals A, do something else, ask another question, that basically means a second chance. Okay, so if amounts greater than 5,000, do something else, I run out of chances. Nothing to do. This can be written as if inventory code equals A, move okay to message. Okay, following this, move okay to message. Else, if amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. And then I end the if and end the other if. This one had no else. Okay. Can this be made a compound? Actually, I can, because I can say if inventory code equals A, or, okay, because I've got an or there, or amount is greater than 5,000, then move okay to the message and the if.
That's how it would be in SQL.
That's only because they're the same, right?
That's because the messages are the same.
It's two different messages on ESE. You couldn't do it that
way. That's right. And I can only, these are the same, so I can do a compound. If those had had different things that I wanted to do, then I can't make it a compound. You can take any situation and handle it with separate if statements. Okay? There's always a way to do everything with separate if statements. When you go to a compound, you're more limited because you have to have something that makes sense that applies to both things. Okay? And in this case, move okay to message applies to both questions. But if one of them had said move okay and the other one had said yeah, all right, then I couldn't do it. Okay? Where am I? There. And I did the compound over on this sheet. So that one is just showing the compound. Still missing a set of quotes. Copy and paste is a wonderful thing. Once you have made the error once, you compound it on forever. Okay, so I still need double quotes around that okay.
You did it on the last one. Okay, double.
I fixed it eventually?
On the last one.
Oh. Well, I copied and pasted it from the wrong place then. Okay, now I have an else. So I'm saying if inventory code equals A, move okay to message. If amount is greater than 5,000, move okay to message. Otherwise, move problem to message. Okay? So I'm asking the first question, and I'm saying if inventory code equals A, move okay to message. Okay? And then it's done. Else, however, if it's not A, else, it comes and asks the next question. And the next question has both a yes and a no response. So I code them both. Okay. Can this one be made a compound?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, and I think I did it on the next slide. Actually, I should take a picture of that one. Okay, because I have something to say on the else, and the same thing to say on the if it's true. If these are both true, move okay to message. Else, if I've run out of chances, move problem to message. So if I've run out of chances, I'm moving problem to message.
Everyone got that? Any questions at all?
Oh, the compound on this one.
Yeah. You know how, questions are like a diamond and then answers are squares? Is that like universal or is that just how you
Yeah,
do it?
That's universal. Input and output is usually a parallelogram. So if I'm taking data in or writing data on the screen, I use a parallelogram. I was just moving something in memory, so I didn't. But it wouldn't have been wrong probably to use a parallelogram. But I was more thinking of moving to a spot in memory. But if that was putting it out, I could have used a parallelogram. Diamonds are always used when you're asking a question. And rectangles are always used when you're doing something, like a calculation, moving something around. All those kinds of things, you do it with a rectangle. Okay. So, let's see. What about that? Can that be written as a compound? Right, because these two are not saying do the same thing. They've got different things going on. Okay? So I'm saying here, if inventory code equals A, move code okay to message. Else, if amount is greater than 5,000, move amount okay to message. So apparently I want to know which thing was okay. Else, move problem to message. Because these two are different. These two are different. So since they are different, there is no compound. Okay, because they are different.
Question?
Yeah.
So if those two were the same, or any two on there were the same, it wouldn't be compound?
If those two were the same, it would be compound, but any two, no. Because this is the else. So if I were to compound this, I would say if amount in inventory code equals A, or amount is greater than 5,000, then I have to do something, then it has to be the same thing. So those two have to be the same. If I'm going to compound it, then the else is what I'm going to do if I run out of chances. I got a no to this, I got a no to this, there's no more chances. if I had three conditions, do this or this or this, then I'd have a third problem down here. Okay? Because you can obviously say if this or this or this. Okay? Is that what you were asking? Okay.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. This is the situation where one thing has to be true and either of two other things. Okay? Now, we have seen this in Access, and I still sent a few of these back recently. If one thing has to be true, and then either of two other things, where do you put the one thing that has to be true when you're doing it on the user interface?
On both lines.
Okay? On both lines. Because it has to be true, so it has to be on both lines. Now, Access, we do something fairly simplistic. When we're using the user interface. And that is, we're just asking display or don't display. That's all we're doing with the select statement as well. We're saying display or not display. Here, when we're getting into programming, we're going to be able to get more specific. If this is true, I have just one thing here saying move OK to message. But I could have five things going on here. Do a calculation, do this, do that. If I get a yes to both of them, there's five things I want to do. And so I would put five rectangles here and list the five things I want to do. Okay? So it gets more complex in programming in the sense that we're not saying display or not display as our two choices. We're saying we can do a bunch of things. Now I'm just showing one thing here just to keep it straightforward. But again, if I were writing a program, I could say I wanted to do a whole lot of things there. Okay, so in this one I'm saying, if inventory code equals A, if it doesn't, I'm out of here. So inventory code has to be A. If it is, then one of these two things has to be true. They happen to both be true, that's fine, but I'll never know. Because if I get a yes to this first thing, I'm going to go with that, and I'm never even going to check the no. Okay? So I'm saying if amount first is greater than 500, do this. If not, is amount second greater than 200? If it is, do that. Okay? So up here I've said if inventory code equals A, if it doesn't, I'm out of here. I just drop right out. Because there's no else to catch me. The else here has already got an if to go with it. So I say if inventory code equals A, then drop down. Again, programming works in sequence. So if I get a true response, I drop down to the next line. If amount first is greater than 500, move OK to message. Else takes the no branch. If amount second is greater than 200, move OK to message. If it isn't, I don't have anything to do, so I don't have an else. I just end the if. Then I end that if, and then I end that if. So notice I end in the flowchart. I'll take the lowest if statement, and I connect its yes and its no. Then I back up, and I connect the next if statement's yes and its no, which goes through another question. But I still bring them together and connect them. And then I go back up to the top one. Its yes went through all this stuff. But I connect when I'm finished with its yes with its no that did nothing. And I connect them all up and make a logical end to it. this one be a compound?
No.
Yeah. It could. Because I only have two actions. Now, I got to write the whole thing out if I do it that way. And the way I would write this out is if inventory code equals A and amount first greater than 500 or amount second greater than 200, then I want to do the move and the end if. Now, this isn't right yet because ands get resolved before ors. And so the first two things would be resolved together and the last thing would stand alone. And that's not what I want. I want the first thing to have to be true and either of these two things. So if I put that in parentheses, it now says inventory code equals A and either of those things.
So that's like doing the same thing as like putting if inventory equals A twice.
That's right. The other way of writing it would be to say, if inventory code equals A and amount first greater than 500, move OK. Else, if inventory code equals A and amount second is greater than 200, move OK. Or I could just put it all with an or. The second one with an or. OK, I think I went on and did that. So we will, okay, so there it is. If inventory code equals A and either, now it's said here, note the use of parentheses. Here in Boolean logic, ands get resolved before ors. That means if we didn't have the parentheses, it would treat this like A and amount first greater than 500, or just amount second greater than 200. We want the logic to be inven code equals A and either, and to do this we change the order of operations so that the two things in the OR are grouped by using parentheses. Because that means when I use the parentheses, it resolves the parentheses first. And it says, okay, one of these two. And then it says, okay, inventory code equals A and one of those two. And so it resolves the inner first. Ands get resolved before ors is the key thing to remember. Okay. Okay. The other way I can write this, if I want to, is I can say, if inventory code equals A, if it does continue, then I can take and just combine those two and say, okay, if amount first is greater than 500 or amount second is greater than 200, move okay. So if I want to not do the complete compound, I can do it with two questions, the bottom question asking both of the ors. Or as you said, I could put, or somebody said, I could code it so I had if inventory code equals A and amount greater than 500 or inventory code equals A and amount second greater than 200, and that would work as well.
But could you do that and still only put, like, move okay to message?
Yes. Because what I would be saying here, okay, let's say for the sake of writing that that's condition A, and that's condition B, and that's condition C. Okay? Just because it's easier to write. So I can say, if condition A and condition B, or condition A and condition C. And I can write it that way. Okay, so and, so I'm saying if A and B, or if it's A and C. Okay. This is A, this is B, this is C. Now, when I do this, ands get resolved before ors. So the first thing that happens is that gets resolved. Then it comes over here and resolves this one. And then it says, okay, either that group or this group. So the third thing it does is the or. As ands get resolved before ors. So it combines the first two, it combines the third and the fourth, and says, okay, either the first two or the next group. Okay. Now we have, if inventory code, if I hadn't put in the parenthesis. If I didn't put in the parenthesis, I'm saying if inventory code equals A, and amount first is greater than 500, or just amount second is greater than 500. Okay. But I have to ask that or question on both of these. Because I'm saying this and this. Well, if they're not both true, I still have to ask that or question. So on the node inventory code, I ask the or question. And on the no to amount greater than 500, I ask the or question. Because I have to ask it both places. Go ahead. Repetitive but necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I would probably do if I have one thing that stands alone is I'd ask that question first. And then if I get a no to that, I'd say this and this. So I would probably take this question and ask it first. And if I get a yes, it goes someplace. If I get a no, it does those two. Okay, and that would make sense. And there it is. Okay, so if I ask it in that order, it's a lot easier. If amount second is greater than 200, move okay. Or if those two things, move okay. It doesn't matter the order that I ask the questions if I ask them right. In other words, here I have amount first greater than 500 over, but I decided it was easier to ask it first. I'm sorry. No, I didn't change it around. I read it wrong. Look back at the other one where I did it. I actually wrote this to match the flowchart. I thought I hadn't. But I can ask that or question by itself and say if amount second is greater than 200, move okay. Otherwise, ask the other two questions. Because ors, okay, ands get resolved before ors. Okay, so here I said I wanted to move problem. Okay, and I have different messages, so I've got no chance for a compound. So I said, if inventory code equals A, if amount first is greater than 500, then move 500, okay. Else, if amount second is greater than 200, move 200, okay. Else, move problem. And notice inventory code has no else, so I do nothing if inventory code isn't equal to A. Okay, making sense?
Isn't it kind of out of order, though?
I don't think so. What are you fighting?
Never mind. I'm reading it later.
Okay. So I have an else on two of them, but I don't have an else on inventory code equals A. Now on the last one, I've got an else on everything. So I'm saying, if inventory code equals A, then ask about amount first. Okay? If amount first isn't, ask about amount second. I've got an else on everything. So if inventory code is not equal to A, I drop down here and move code problem to message. Okay, most of you have done a very good job of actually staying awake. I thank you. Questions? Because this is going to come back to haunt you, yeah.
Going back to slide 18.
Why, wait a minute, go back to where?
18. Why would you even put the or in front of it if the ands are going to get answered first, right?
This is if you did it wrong and you didn't do the parenthesis. Okay, if you didn't, because way back here, when I said this is the situation, I said I can make a compound by putting in the parenthesis. But if you don't put in the parenthesis, this is how it's going to be handled. Okay? And so I was showing the way it would be handled without the parenthesis. It wouldn't be right. Because, it wouldn't be right because if you go by my original plan. My original plan is I want inventory code to have to be true. Okay. When I went to 18 and showed what would happen if I didn't have the parenthesis, inventory code does not have to be A. Because if amount second is greater than 200, I'm moving okay. So this one, this works if this is what I want. But if what I wanted was that inventory code had to be A, this would not work.
Yeah, cool. 17, right? Slide 17 has the A. Right? Yeah.
No, even this one doesn't. Oh, yeah, this one, I guess.
Yeah.
If inventory code equals, if amount, yeah.
Well, I mean...
No, this one will not.
Yeah.
It will be, I can still have... This one, it doesn't work either.
No.
Because on this one, I can still have, if inventory code equals A, I'm still having another chance.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have another chance. So if I want inventory code to be A, those aren't going to work. What I was trying to show from 17 and 18 is... What would happen if I didn't put in the parenthesis? Okay, so 17, 18. Yeah, 17 and 18 are what happens if I don't put in the parenthesis. Okay. Questions? Okay. Those are basic things in flowcharting. And we're basically, today is one of those look at everything days, and then we'll start doing stuff with it on Thursday. So, now we're going to look at the next thing. As I said, programs... To be considered a programming language, and this is going to come on a quiz, I promise, you have to have sequence, you have to have selection, and you have to have decision-making ability. Okay? So, if you want to be considered a programming language, the language needs to be able, the language... has to support sequence, that's supposed to be a one, sequence, which means I drop down to the next instruction. It has to support selection, our decisions. Where I ask a question and I respond to yes or no to that question. And it has to have repetition or loops. Where I can do something over and over and over again. Just the very basics. If I have a database, when I put in a query in that database, behind the scenes, Access is going through every record in my database to see if it meets the criteria. So it's looping. It's checking the first record, goes back, checks the second record, goes back, checks the third record. It goes through every record in the database. Okay, and that's the wonderful part of computers. If I have 10,000 records in my database, it can sit there and hum through, and if it does it right the first time, it will do it right every time. Okay, whereas if I do it right the first time, it doesn't say I will do it right the second, third, fourth, fifth, and definitely by the time I've done it 5 times, I'll start doing it wrong. That's the joy of computers, is that they can do stupid, repetitious things over and over and over without getting bored and making callous mistakes. Okay? So that's why a machine, that is the area that a machine is superior. Okay? It can do dumb things over and over and over again. And we are a little more demanding. Okay, so now we're going to look at a little bit about loops. And so that brings up the next point. Okay, and I talked about it here. Programming logic involves three structures: the sequence structure, the selection structure, conditions, decisions, you pick a word, and the looping structure, which is iteration. Which means I go over and over and over things. Now, to go over in repetition, I also have to have a way to stop looping. Okay? Otherwise, I can loop. I can have an endless loop. One of the first programs I wrote when I was getting used to programming, I kind of forgot that part, that I needed to end the loop. And somebody came out with about 1,000 pieces of paper that had the exact same thing printed on them and said, did you really want this 1,000 times? No, I didn't, but that's what I did. Okay? So that's because I forgot to have a decision about when to end it. So this is a decision, and if I get a yes to the question, I'll do it again. If I get a no to the question, I'm done with the looping. So if I get a yes, I keep doing it over and over and over again. When I get a no, I'm out of there. And it's important to put that in, or you get what is fondly called an endless loop. Okay, so that you can come back the next day and that patient computer will still be doing the same thing. Okay, because it doesn't get bored. Yep. Okay. So, I have a condition that tells the processing, and I have a loop, and I am doing a condition and asking a condition. Do you want to do it again? If I do, I process, then I go back and say, do you want to do it again? If I do our process, then I go back and say, do you want to do it again? And lots of ways of doing it. A do-while loop is one of the ways that that can be done. And so when we come to coding, you can have a while loop or a do-while loop, and that's one of the ways that I'll be able to code that. The other way is, and this is frequently a do-until, but it can be other ways too, is I do the processing once and then ask, do you want to do it again? Okay? Now the difference is here I ask the question before I even do the loop. I have the potential of never doing the loop. I may never do the loop. I may never do the loop, which is what I'm calling processing. So the loop processing. I may never do it, because if the question gets a no before I do it once, I'll never do it. So I have the potential of never doing the loop. In the other one, I will always do it once. We can stop this, okay? I will always do it once because I ask, do the processing, and then I say, do you want to do it again? And it goes back and processes. Do you want to do it again? It goes back and processes. Okay? So this way, I always process once.
How do you process without asking a question?
Say that again?
How do you process without, like, giving a condition or something?
I just, the processing might be a calculation, let's say. And so I could have a calculation and then say, do you want to do that calculation again, is what I'm basically doing. And you'll see it in a minute, because I've got them laid out more in a program on the next one. So basically, those are the two kinds of loops, and I called it a do while and a do until, but in fact, different languages call things different. But until frequently asks the question at the bottom, and while frequently asks the question at the top. And as you know, in Visual Basic, you can switch it five ways to Sunday. But, so, now I'm going to go on and look at how I can put this inside a program. So here's my program. Okay. Your book talks about an initializing read, and I think it's in chapter 2. But essentially, when we start, we frequently read, if we're reading from a file, we read the first record. And it's kind of it's an initializing read. It's to get things going. And so we read a record. Now, the condition that we have when we're reading records from a file or a database is that eventually we'll hit end of file. EOF stands for end of file. So eventually we'll hit end of file. So we read the record. If it's not end of file, we do whatever processing we want to do. Now, processing can be asking some decisions. It can be doing calculations. It can be anything that I need to get done. But I'm kind of making it big picture processing here. So I process that first record. Then I read the second record. And I go back. If the read was successful, so I attempted to read the second record, okay? I go back. If the read was successful, in other words, it's not end of file, because if it couldn't read, it has end of file. Then I process and I try to read the third record. I go back. Was the third read successful? If it was, I process and I read the next. And I do that over and over again. Now, if the first read wasn't successful, what happens?
I stop.
So if the first read wasn't successful, so somebody tells me to read a database, and they never put any records in it, I'm just going to hit the it is end of file, and I'm going to stop. Because if there's no records on the table, then there's nothing to read. But think of this as reading the table that you set up in your database. So it reads the first record, not in the file, it does whatever processing, and tries for the second, and just keeps going through over and over and over again.
And then once there's no more files, it stops.
That's right. When there's no more records, when it hits end of file, which means no more records. Now, what I try to do when I'm doing this, and your book talks about this too, is I want read to be the last thing. So I have the initializing read up here. That gets me the first record. As long as it was successful, I do whatever I have to do. And then I try to read another record. And if it's successful, I go back. But I always want the read as the last thing in this chain. Because as soon as I do the read, I immediately go back and see if the read was successful. So I want to put it at the last thing in the chain. I've already processed the previous record. Now I'm reading the next one to see if it's there. Okay? So that kind of shows how you go about doing that. Here I'm using a counter. I don't have to read until I hit end of file. I can do some processing, and in this one I'm not even reading a file. I'm just doing processing based on a counter. So if I want to increase amount five times, my counter would count and I'd go through and I'd increase the amount five times. I add to the amount five times. Maybe I have a thing where the user tells me how many times they want to do this. And that's what I said here, is they could put in a start point and they could put in a stop point. So that they wanted to start with one and they wanted to end with three or something like that. And inside the processing, they'd do whatever they wanted to do. And then they would increment the counter. So again, what I'm doing here is I am asking the user for a start point and a stop point, and I didn't put that in the flowchart, but assume that I'm asking the user. Or I could hard code it. I could have in my program that I always want to start at one and I always want to end at five. So if I have my counter equals start a point, I'm going to have this thing in memory called counter. And let's say I want to start with one. So I'm going to put a one in counter. That's the start point. And let's say I have a stop point that is in memory also, and that's going to be four. So I want to stop at four, we'll say. So I start the counter out at one. Because I say counter equals start point. And I probably should put that in too. So I ask the user, and the user tells me that the start point is 1 and the stop point is 4. So I take the start point and I move it into counter. I assign it to counter. That equals is an assignment sign, so I'm assigning it to counter. Then I say, okay, is counter less than stop point? Well, 1 is less than 4, right? So I process, okay, so I process when it's a 1, when the counter is a 1. So I process. Then I say increment the counter. And I'm going to increment by adding 1. So counter is now a 2, okay? So I come back, is counter less than stop point? Yes, it is, okay? 2 is less than 4. So I'm going to process, and when I process, I've got count is now a 2. And then I increment counter by 1, so it now goes up to a 3, okay? So I come back and I say, is counter less than stop point? Yes, it is. So I process, and now I'm processing with counter of 3. And then I increment counter, and it becomes 4. I go back, is counter less than 4? No. So I stop. Okay? So the stop point was stop when you hit 4. Don't do it for 4, stop when you hit 4. If I wanted to do it for 4, I could say, is counter less than or equal to? and it would keep going. Okay? So that's my loop where I go through and do it X number of times, and this time I'm doing it based on a counter. Okay? I determined whatever it is I wanted to do, that this is where I wanted to start, this is where I wanted to stop, and so it ended up doing the processing. Questions? Yeah.
Is there like a minimum or maximum you could?
No. No.
Like have it stop out or start out, right?
No. I can start wherever I want and I can stop wherever I want. It may mean that the computer is humming all night, but I can keep it going for as long as I want. Yeah.
So if you were going to start at one, you would actually want your start point to be zero because it would go right to two, right? If it was plus one.
If I started at zero, because I said, okay, when I started at one, I checked, one was less than four.
Oh, then
I did the processing for one,
right.
And then I incremented. So the next point I was going to make is, remember I made the comment that I did the initializing read, so I initialize things? Well, here I'm initializing. But what I'm initializing is the counter. When I'm reading records, I read a record that initializes. Okay? This is when things change down here. And when I was reading a file, I put a read in here to get the next record, to change to the next record. Here I'm adding one to the counter to change the counter. When I do a loop, okay, the general things that I need to do, and I'm trying to think if I wrote that in here, but I don't see it. When I do a loop, I need to initialize. And we'll see this as we do examples. But I need to initialize, get things set up, yeah.
That's most likely to be a variable, right? Be
probably, yes. Yeah. And I could initialize by doing an initial read when I'm doing a file. A file or a table. A standalone is usually called a file. If it's kind of a database, it's usually called a table. Or I could set a counter. Or there are other ways. But those are the two we're looking at right now. But I do something to get things set. Then I need to have a condition to end the loop. Okay, I need to have a condition to end the loop. And then what I have to do is I have to do the change. And the change is read another record. Change the counter. Or other things. Okay? But I need to change something. Because the mistake that I made when I told you I got 1,000 pieces of paper, give or take, is I didn't do the read. So I didn't read the second record, the third record, the fourth record. I just read the first record and processed it. And then processed it again. And then processed it again. And then processed it again. 1,000 times, okay?
I had no more paper.
That's right, basically. Until somebody said, yeah, okay? So, I didn't do the change because I didn't read another record. If I'd read another record, sooner or later, I would hit end of file. But if I don't read another record, I just stay with that first record till hell freezes over and somebody tells me I'm out of paper. Okay? Or if I don't add to the counter. If I say, do this while the counter is less than stop point, and I don't change counter, it will always be less than stop point, and so I will do it forever. Okay? So it is critical that you have these three things when you're dealing with a loop. Yeah?
The counter would be to like change tables or change data.
Well, my counter was just, I was counting how many times I did it.
But it could be to change, like a database or change a file.
I don't think I want to go there. How do I say that to you so often? Yes, you could change, but usually you would end the loop and start another loop if you were changing or something like that.
More than one change?
Pardon?
Can you do more than one change at a time?
Yes, you could have a change that said when the counter is less than four and the total that I accumulated is less than 1,000 or something. I can have multiple things that I need to change.
Does the increment count as a change?
No, the increment does the change.
But it doesn't count? Like, if I didn't change the counter, but like I changed the increment, would it work? Or would I be...
Well, again, okay, let's go back here. What I'm doing is I'm making the change. So this is making the change to call to counter. Because I'm saying increment counter, which I'm saying makes the change.
So the increment is what changes the counter?
That's right, exactly.
Oh, so it's... All right.
Okay, so it's doing what has to be done, but counter is what reflects it.
What it shows.
Right. And then the other one that I talked about was this one, where I process before. So now I'm going to have the same things. I'm going to have start point at one, and I'm going to have stop point at four, and I'm going to have counter that I'm going to keep track of. Okay, so count, yeah, right. Oh, well. That's counter. And I'm going to put a one in it because I'm moving... making counter equal to stop point. So now I'm processing. So I'm doing a process for count equal to one. Whatever processing I'm doing. Then it says increment the counter. So it's now a two. And I said, is counter not equal to stop point? It's not equal. So I go back and I process two. And then I increment to three. Is counter not equal? So it's not equal. So I go back. I process three. I increment the counter. Is counter not equal to stop point? What is it? What's going to happen?
They
are equal, right? So they're not equal. Talk about right. Double negatives. They're not equal. Okay, they are equal. So if it's not equal, I keep going, but it's equal, I drop out. Okay.
So it's very similar to the process of the last.
Yeah, it's just this one I processed before I checked. And the other one I...
So these are the two simplest?
Just two ways of doing it. And the first way is the way I usually do it. But here I will always process once. So, well, if stop point was stop point and stop point were both one. Okay? Let's look at this. If stop point and stop point are both one.
Yeah.
If I come in here, I process... I increment counter, it's now two, they're no longer equal, I'm done. Okay? On the other one, but I did process one, right? Because I came in, I processed before I checked. On the other one, On this one, I came in, and if they were both one, I would say one is counted less than stop point. No, I'm out of here. I would never have processed. I'm out of here. So that's the difference, is that one of them I will always process once, the other one I don't. And I think that did it. Okay. I'm done with 4 minutes to spare. Good deal. Anybody got any questions? Okay. Pat's around, as am I, at 1:45 in this room. So if you have questions, come back.
Tomorrow I'll be in K-118.
And if you haven't done any homework yet, I'd strongly suggest you come and visit us.
Yeah, I'll be in K-118 2 to 4 tomorrow. There's only one feed.
Huh?
You emailed me about email about what was it about the HTML project? It was you needed the web address.
Yes.
Where do I get that?
Okay, you didn't put it up on the web yet, then.
No, I probably didn't. Then.
Okay, you need to put it up on the web.
On the CSI web?
Yes.
I have it in the CSIS folder, I made.
You haven't put it online? Is it online?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, you need to put it online. Okay.
All right.
So there's handouts on it back in around week 2. But the other way is to come for help at 1:45.
All right.
And well, somebody can sit down and do it with you.
How long are you guys here?
Why, do you have a class at 2?
Yeah, I have a class. Yeah.
At 2?
Yeah. Actually, I think it ends at 1:45.
Okay, so just come around then.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
I'm here at 1:45.
C-120, just a minute, so I don't end up losing this.
SQL database later, Oracle and all that.
How did I get 49? And now you will see my paranoia and full blooms that I have to say to one more.